with the latest news now.
The Israeli military reports Hamas have freed two Israeli women and more hostage releases are expected. The President of France has expressed great joy at the release of the French Israeli hostage, 21-year-old Mir Shem. Posting on X, Emmanuel Macron says France is working with partners to free remaining hostages. At least 10 Israelis a day have been freed, along with other nationals, during the truce now in its seventh day. It comes as children from London have been demonstrating outside Number 10 with UK charity Friends of Al-Aqsa.
We're outside Downing Street with over 450 coffins, with thousands of names on the coffins. These coffins represent the over 6,135 children that have been killed by Israel.
Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's shown appreciation to nurses at the University of Surrey after the government statistics show the NHS has seen its largest sustained growth in the nursing workforce.
I'm actually mainly here because we've delivered on our promise, we've kept our promise to recruit and retain an extra 50,000 nurses for the NHS, which is great news. But I'm also here actually to say thank you.
The 50,000 extra nurses are working in the health service compared to September of 2019. Sir Keir Starmer has paid tribute to former Labour Chancellor Alistair Darling, who's died at the age of 70. The veteran politician who served as Chancellor during the 2008 financial crisis died following a period of cancer treatment. The Labour leader says he'll be remembered for guiding Britain through the global financial crisis with calm expertise and honesty. The UN Weather Agency has declared 2023 the hottest year on record as world leaders gather in Dubai for the COP28 climate summit. It comes as delegates at the conference have agreed on creating a fund that will compensate countries vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. The UAE and Germany have both pledged $100 million to the fund so far. And celebrity tributes have poured in for Irish singer-songwriter Shane McGowan. DJ Annie Max described him as one of the finest lyricists of a generation. The Pogues frontman has died at the age of 65. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Shine Steele.
Radio Works.
9 in 10 small business owners want to explore a marginal gains approach. Here's football star and business owner Dion Dublin.
Marginal gains thinking is a term in sports psychology that refers to making small incremental changes to boost performance. In business, this can seem less daunting. This can be setting short-term goals or doing something very simple like getting a smart meter installed. This can give small business owners more control of their energy spend, helping them to monitor usage and identify cost savings.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village.
Mostly dry with clear spells and frost with freezing fog in places. Wintry showers near the coasts and parts of Northern Ireland. Cloudier in the south with lows of minus 3 degrees Celsius.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village. Discover the Christmas gift ideas at the YMCA. 30% discount for unlimited activities, vouchers for climbing, and the YMCA Cafe. There are charity gifts and much more. Find out more online at ymcanewarkshoward.org/Christmas or pop in and see us.
Radio Newark
Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
One is you make me happy, two is you set me free from all the things that held me back from just being me. Thank you for all the sweetness, now I can finally breathe, now I can finally breathe. But baby, don't you see, I still get frustrated, can't lie, when you keep on doing things I don't like.
two, three, four, five, six, seven, and nine, ten. Keep on counting. I still love you. I got 21 reasons why I do.
Good evening and welcome to Radio Nuke Sport with Gorey. Along with me this evening, Joyda, how are you doing?
I'm good, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, really good, thank you. And just want to say, John, you missed it last week with Ray. It was a really, really good night. Thanks for Ray and Dave for coming in. Talked about looking after Maradona in his back pocket and played with George Best. So, what a man. And, it was really, really good. And on to this week. Well, we have... Mr. Dan Evers with us. He's England dodgeball. Hi up, Dan.
All right, mate. How are you getting on?
We're all good, aren't we, John? Well, so we're going to have a bit of fun tonight, aren't we, Dan?
Yes, yeah,
we're not about to mention it, but this was the Ibiza team, wasn't it?
Well, we've got to keep that quiet, haven't we?
We have to keep that quiet. But we are going to be back talking to Dan a little shortly. But in the meantime, we're going to just have a little break and we'll be back to talk about the local sport. We'll see you in a minute.
Salad days slowly being eaten away. Just another play for today. Oh, but I'm proud of you, but I'm proud of you. Nothing left to make me feel small. Luck has left me standing so tall. Gold, always believe in your soul. Has gone. I hope you find a little more time. Remember, we were partners in crime. It's only 2 years ago. The man with the suit and the face, he knew that he was there on the case. Now he's in love with you. He's in love with you. My love is like a high prison wall. And you can leave. Always believe in, 'cause you are gold. I'm glad that you
come back to Radio Newark Sport with Gory. That was for Mrs. Gore. I hope she's listening. That's what she requested this evening. So welcome, everybody. We've got Jono with us again as Norway, Jono. We've got Dan, our England dodgeball player with us. And we're just going to do a bit of local sport. And Dan's going to join in with us because he knows a couple of things going on. First of all, I'm just going to talk about the rugby very quickly. There wasn't much going on last weekend in terms of senior. But they're returning to action this weekend at Wolverhampton. 2:15 kickoff. The seconds are at home to Gainsborough. Again, 2:15 kickoff at Kellam Road. Bar open, Rob's put here. So trying to entice a few people down. Bar's open. The thirds are at home to Southall. And they kick off again at 2:15. I understand that the Colts, Joyner, have done well. The age group, in the fourth round of the National Age Group Cup for the Colts at rugby. So
yeah, it's a good achievement.
That's a great achievement. And they're away to Southwell this coming Friday, 7 o'clock. Wish them all the very, very best. They're doing amazing. So, yeah, good luck to that. Over to you, John. We're going to talk about the football?
Yeah, I'm just going to have a quick catch-up on the football. Newark and Sherwood ended up on a 2-1 defeat, continuing their sad losses at the minute. JD, the manager, will no doubt have one eye over his shoulder looking at the bottom of the league. They're playing well, but they're just not pulling out the results at the minute, Newark and Sherwood, and either drawing or narrowly losing. So I'm sure the management will be looking to turn that around this weekend. Newark Town continued their rich vein of form with a 5-0 win against San Diego Town, with new signing Ryan Smith bagging a brace, who's looking a very good prospect for the future.
Whereabouts are you in the league now then, Joyner?
Newark Town was sitting third now, 6 points clear of four.
Okay.
And a point behind second, although they do have a game in hand. So things are looking really positive for Newark Town at the minute. Southwell first team, they ended up being defeated midweek, 3-1.
Who was that against?
That was Holwell Sports.
Okay.
And their reserves had a fantastic victory on Saturday as they became the first team to beat runaway leaders Stapleford in the Notts Senior League.
Oh, wow,
Stapleford are top by a while. And they ended up beating them 3-2. So that was a fantastic result for the reserves.
Brilliant.
Collingham first team didn't have a game, and Har HP ended up with a fine 6-0 win over Clipston Reserves.
Well, that's a really good roundup of the Saturday football. Now, Dan, you know a little bit about what happened on Sunday, don't you? We're wishing very much all the very best to this young man, but something happened on Sunday, didn't it?
Yes, quite sad news in a sense. There was a Sunday league, I think it was a cup fixture between Collingham and, apologies, I can't remember the name of the opposition, but an older gentleman keeled over and I believe had a cardiac arrest when he was involved in the walking football, I believe, on a neighbouring pitch. I believe he was down for quite a long time as well. Happy ending though. He did, I believe, come round. In hospital, so I think apparently he's talking.
Well, big shout out to the guy that did all that.
And a big shout out to the ref. I believe his name is Aston Boyd, who performed CPR on the gentleman for quite a few minutes. And as well, I believe that Collingham Club had recently fundraised for a defibrillator on site a couple of years ago.
Right.
Never had used it until this situation, luckily. But had the opportunity to use it, and obviously it saved a man's life. So it's a shout out to other clubs to have the same facilities on site.
Yeah, that's hear that, mate. That's a real good point to make. That, but there was so many fixtures that did go ahead. Holy Trinity got through in the Willey Hall. There was the Bottisford had a great win at 10-1 against Coddington. Loads and loads to mention, but there was a good good bunch of games went on. I just wanted to very quickly, moving away from the football, just wanted to mention Hayley Turner, a young lady from Southwell. She became the first British woman to ride 1,000 winners on the flat. So that's a massive achievement, and great for local sport.
Fantastic.
We need to see if we'll get hold of Hayley and see if she'll fancy her.
She's next week.
Yeah, see if she'll be next week. No, so fantastic. So all good. A lot of good stuff this week. We're going to be straight back after this break talking to Dan.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
In this country, on average, someone dies from accidental carbon monoxide poisoning pretty much every week. You can't see it, you can't smell it, you can't taste it. And if carbon monoxide is leaking in your home, this is what it sounds like. You can buy a good alarm from any DIY store. And if carbon monoxide is leaking in your home, this is what it sounds like. The difference? About £15. Carbon monoxide. Don't be a victim of the silent killer.
How does it feel when you stop smoking?
Brilliant, I've finally quit.
I feel like I've got my life back.
I was so proud of myself.
I feel a lot richer.
It feels good.
I just feel fitter and healthier.
I felt much happier.
It's an amazing feeling when you stop smoking. With the help of NHS Smoke Free, you could experience that feeling for yourself. Our range of support tools, which includes face-to-face guidance from advisors, helps maximise your chances of success. Go online now and search for Smoke Free.
Ho, ho, ho! Santa here! Don't miss the Newark Christmas markets on Saturday the 9th and Sunday the 10th of December. There's 120 festive stalls, fantastic seasonal food, street entertainers and a live music stage. In addition, on the Sunday, there's a steampunk quarter and an incredible torchlight procession led by pipers and drums and a charity Santa Dash around the market. For more information, see Newark Royal Market pages on Facebook. Oh, and Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho!
107.8 FM, Radio Newark.
The National Civil War Centre and Newark Museum is now free for residents of Newark and Sherwood. Enjoy fascinating galleries, fun interactives, a brilliant dressing up area and more, as well as fantastic family events every month. Plus, discover more about the town with hidden history walking tours every Saturday, where you'll uncover the secrets of streets you walk every day. The National Civil War Centre is open Tuesday to Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Find out more at nationalcivilwarcentre.com or follow them on Facebook.
As you promised me that I was more than all the miles combined, you must have had yourself a change of heart like halfway through the drive, because your voice trailed off exactly as you passed my exit sign. Kept on driving straight and left our future to the right. Now I am stuck between my anger and the blame that I can't face, and memories of something even smoking deal is not replaced. And I am terrified of weather, cause I see you when it rains. Doc told me to travel, but there's COVID on the planes. And I heard Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. And I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed. And it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas. And I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now your tire tracks in one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, but that'll have to do. So I thought that if I piled something good and all my bad, that I could cancel out the darkness I inherited from Dad. No, I am no longer funny, cause I missed the way you laughed. Once called me forever, now you still can't call me back. And I love Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks. And I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed. And it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas. And I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have, but I did not lose. Now you're tire tracks in one pair of shoes, and I'm split in half, but that'll have to do.
the sticks and I saw your mom. She forgot that I existed and it's half my fault. But I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas and I'll dream each night of some version of you that I might not have but I did not lose. Now your tired tracks and one pair of shoes and I'm split in half. That'll have to do, have to do.
And welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gore. Alongside me, Joino, good evening.
Good evening, Paul.
And we welcome a very good friend of ours, Tony. Mr. Dan Evans, how you doing?
I'm all right, boys. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. No, we're very, very good. I didn't know before I met Dan that dodgeball even existed as a sport at this kind of level. So
you'd be surprised. A lot of people have the same opinion.
I'm not. Well, that doesn't surprise me. But what does surprise me is how many people take part in it. There's a federation for dodgeball.
Yeah.
But before we get into all of that, what is dodgeball? Come on, Dan.
What is dodgeball?
So we are like novices now. Come on, what is dodgeball?
Dodgeball is the biggest sport in primary school. That's what that is. After that, it just falls off a cliff. So dodgeball is, I think a lot of people would have played it. Or there'd be two things. They'd have played it at school when it was raining, right. Or they'd have watched the film and maybe come into either of those categories or a bit of both. So it's a sport. It's an indoor sport. It's a ball throwing sport, basically. And it's bigger than you think. It's a interesting sport and it's, but we can play a bit of, a bit of a background to it and a bit of the rules of it. But it's six balls or five balls, depending on the type of, dodgeball you play. There's different types. There's governing bodies. There's a large international scene. There's hundreds of clubs around the country spreading from junior to senior to even older age. There's a 60s plus dodgeball team.
I nearly qualify for that. I might
have a couple more years.
So we're going to go into all of the nitty-gritty. How many people are in a dodgeball team? I've seen the photos on the website. I did a bit of homework.
Oh, go on.
There's a lot of people on that. Yeah. Right? So it tells me there must be quite a few people, but you've only got five balls, but so go on, how does it all?
Yeah. So like a starting lineup, like football, so you've got 11 in the starting lineup, but in dodgeball, you've got six people. So you have two teams, 6v6. You're playing on a court around the size of a badminton court is probably the best way to visualize it. And so both teams are either side of each other, and you've got in the middle what's known as the neutral zone, where I think it's about a 2 meter area, and there's a line in the middle, and that's like the central line. So same as football, you can't, like, the balls aren't meant to, like, leave the side of the court, and you can't leave the court as well. And then it's 6v6, and there are five balls in the UK version of dodgeball. There are five balls on court. You start off, the five are lined up in the middle. And then you can test for one of them. So both teams send three people running for the middle balls. Each team gets two straight away. And then one person, you send your quickest, littlest lad to go try win the middle one. And that ball is contested. And then the game starts with one team having three balls one side and the other team having two the other.
Okay, so it's five balls in total.
Yeah.
So it'd be a three and a two. Okay, so... Then what do? They run back to the far touchline as quick as they can so they don't get hit by one of the balls.
Yeah.
So then you start just throwing the things, do you?
Oh, you've seen it before, Gory. You've seen it before. So it's a bit of a string because a lot of people kind of have played dodgeball or, again, seen the film and just view it as like a sport. You're just lobbing balls at your friends and basically it kind of is as well. But there's actually a surprising amount of tactics to it. Because I'm going to try upsell it as well, because obviously I want the sport to grow. But there's a lot of tactics to it. There's a lot of positions. So as well, I think people view it as just like lads throwing themselves and all women jumping around the court and trying to dodge all these balls. But there's actual positions to it as well. So you have, there are three main positions. So there are wingers, as are in football, inside wingers, and then central players. I'm a winger. So the people on the wings tend to have a ball more than anyone else because they do the throwing. So they tend to be the people with a bigger throw. The inside wingers are a bit more of your like your James Milner, like your everything player, utility player that can do a bit of everything. He's a bit on the smaller side just because he's a bit more nimble, but he's got a bit of a throw about him as well. And then the central players are your agile. This would be your position, Corey. It would be your agile, quick, quick mover, good catcher position.
And you see, the people, you see me play, Joyner.
I'm struggling with that one, Dan.
Okay, go on. where do you think you'd go? That's the question.
Me?
Yeah, where would you be?
Is there a defensive role?
No, not really. It's quite an offensive game. It's quite a high pace. You'd be on the touchline, wouldn't you? You'd be in your long coat.
I would more than likely be that guy on the wing, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've seen your arms. I don't doubt.
I can throw a ball.
You can throw a ball?
I throw a ball.
So, okay, so we've got the positions.
Yeah.
What are the balls made of?
They're, like I said previously, there are two types of dodgeball. So there's class, there's cloth and foam. So the UK...
It's not a hard one where you can...
What, stone or something? So the cloth is the UK's most popular. And so it's a cloth ball.
Right.
So it's most similar to a volleyball, if you've ever seen that. Yeah. So it's a bit more padded, but it's most like a volleyball. Bit smaller.
Okay. Right.
But that's probably the closest comparison. And then a foam one is big in America. That's what they play. And so it's a much smaller one. And then it, like, you can zip it around and it moves in the air and it's quite squidgy. But the cloth ones have quite a bit of weight to it. So if you actually do get hit by them, they can sometimes be
Well, the Americans wear helmets for their rugby. They're equivalent to rugby where we don't. So you can imagine it being
tougher over here. So it's visualise a volleyball, a bit smaller, and you've got five of them on court. And as I said, you're playing on a space that's about the size of a badminton court.
It's so not a lot of space, is it?
It's not. So, and what can happen is, I mentioned the neutral zone in the middle is about 2 meters. So you've got about a meter encroaching into the opposition's area. So the closest you can get to someone is probably about 5 meters away from them, which is pretty close. Like you're pretty close to the opposition if they're as far back as they can be.
Right.
And people launch these things like 60, 70 miles an hour. We do speed gun tests in England, which is quite cool. And yeah, people are clocking in at like 72, 73 miles an hour.
So you can actually go into the neutral zone?
You can go into the neutral zone and there's a far line. So there's three lines in there. There's the middle line, which is where the balls are lined up at the start of each game or each set. And then there's two lines a meter either side of this middle line, and that's where the opposition can go to. And if you touch the line, you're out. But so you can get pretty close to the people you're throwing the balls at.
Right, we're just gonna have a quick break, so we need to understand this a bit more. So we're gonna have a chat in a second. See you now.
Cheers.
Say you don't know me, I'll recognize my face. the stage. They call us irresponsible. Write us off the page. Marconi plays the mama. Listen to the radio. Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on
everyone. Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gory and Joino. This evening we've got Dan Evans with us. For those that have just joined us, Dan is a England dodgeball, yes, I did say dodgeball, he's an England dodgeball player, and we just didn't know that that existed. It's the same with the wheelchair basketball, Dan, to be fair. I didn't know.
Whatever you say, Gory, you
know,
you say.
Well, I didn't know there was a wheelchair basketball team in Newark. Before we go back into the nitty-gritty of the dodgeball, let's talk a little bit about Dan.
Getting personal.
Yeah, getting personal, Dan. Obviously, we found out about 18 months ago that I went to school with your mum.
Yeah.
And a very lovely lady. And
steady.
So where did you start with the sport? Because you're just mentioning your dad was a rugby player, but you never played rugby, did you?
No, not really. So, so my dad, we're a rugby household by trade. Just because my dad was big into rugby, he's Welsh, he was born in the valleys, so they were like, hence that was their religion. Evans. There you go. That was their religion. Rugby was like everything you did in Wales, that and mining. and so he was big into rugby, he went to university up in Nottingham playing rugby, played for the county, things like this, played for Newark Rugby Club as well at some point, apparently. And yeah, so it was big into that. So we kind of got pushed into it when we were younger, but I grew at about 18, so I was tiny until about 16, 17. So rugby just wasn't for me. All these lads that hit puberty at 10 would just run through like at any point, and I was just getting absolutely bulldozed. So I didn't like it. So we also did football as well. So I'm three brothers. I've got a twin, an older brother. So it was always very competitive. So we did
every sport under the sun. Both
so
parents.
So I know James, who's
yes, we've got James Evans is my twin, yeah. And then Matt Evans is the eldest.
Okay.
And so both play for Collingham Sundays. James plays for Collingham Saturdays. He's had a stint in town as well a couple of years ago.
He has indeed, yeah.
Yeah. So I used to play Saturdays Collingham with James and then Sundays with both of them, which is quite cool. We used to be like the spine of the team, which is quite interesting. But I recently moved up to Manchester, so I don't play for them anymore, sadly. I can't remember where I was going. So both parents big into sport, so they were always pushing that, and so we did every sport under the sun. And then football was our main one. We all play football. Matthew and James played some rugby a bit more, but I just never really got into that. So we just kept playing football, kept playing everything, cricket in the summers, things like that. And that's kind of our background of it, which is why I'm for some reason a Spurs fan living in Newark. I had to pick a team. Never got given a dad's team to follow. So for some reason, yeah, I'm a Spurs fan. My eldest is not my eldest. My mum's eldest is an Arsenal fan, and then James, for some reason, he says he's a Lincoln fan, but I don't believe him. I've never seen him go to a game, so I don't think it quite counts. So kept doing football up until university, and then I ended up going to the same uni as my dad, so I went up to Nottingham. And at uni, you have to do a sport because you join a society.
Just go back to school. Which school did you go to?
So, secondary school, I went to Sir William Robertson Academy.
You went to Will Rob, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you met my mum at Grove, was it?
It was weird at the
back
Grove
in the day.
Today, yeah. Back in the day, yeah.
There you go.
Great school, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So she didn't send me there. I don't know what that says about the school, but... Learn from mistakes. So we all got sent to Sir William Robertson. So again, that's where we did all the sports with the school teams. Yeah. We did all of these up until university. All three of us went to uni sports there as well. And so my oldest brother was like, you need to join a society. Everyone we spoke to, you need to join a society. And so I went down to all the trials for everything. And then the one I was going for, I was just going to go join a football team. But when you go to uni, the bigger clubs charge you to trial. And so I was in first year in like Freshers Week, had about like £10 spare, and it's like a tenner to trial for a football team. And on the form, I remember I was filling it in, and one of the squares to fill in was which academy had you been to? So obviously they were just highlighting whatever players had been to whatever academy, so they could just pick out the bunch. And I just didn't really like it, so I stopped filling in the form and then just went off to find a different team. And going, so this is kind of getting onto how I got into dodgeball. And one of my neighbours, so I doubt he's listening, but David Marshall, went to the same university and played dodgeball. And I spoke to him a couple of weeks before I'd left to uni, and he said, oh, you've got to go down, it's really fun. Really great crack, great lads down there. It's just quite a laugh. You haven't got all these people that are taking the sports really seriously, like football and rugby. They have a really nice blend. Like they've got the social side and then the sports side.
Yeah.
So I saw on the timetable there was a dodgeball trial session. And you could just go down whenever, and it was free. So I thought, oh, okay, fantastic. And I'd played a bit of like casual dodgeball in school. You know, when it rained and you were meant to be outside, you went in to the sports hall and did dodgeball. And it was just quite fun. It was just quite a laugh just to throw something at all your friends. And I used to think I was all right today. I used to get picked first. So that was a good sign at least. So I went down to dodgeball, and apparently I was okay at it.
So this was for the university.
I went down to the trial. And
so they had a league then, did they?
Yeah. So at the time, which I wasn't aware, of course, we had two England internationals at the uni. There was a university league, there was club leagues at the time, there was junior leagues, there was European competitions, world competitions, and I didn't know any of this at all, and I don't think like 9 out of 10 people knew this either. So it turned out my uni team was actually very good, because we had these couple of star players. So I went down, they took a liking to us, because apparently I was okay. And they kept asking me to come down, and originally I wasn't going to, because I was thinking the same as everyone. I thought, oh, dodgeball, you loser. I wanted to go join football or whatever else, cricket as well, things like that. But they kept asking me to go down. So I went down to another session that was down in the city, in Nottingham. And I just I got on with a lot of the people, made a couple of friends and kept going to them. And then also when you're in your first year, you want to go out as well as much as possible. So they had a big social side because they used to, anyone that wasn't really a part of a society used to go out with dodgeball because they were just quite well known for having a good night out.
I know it's a good night out with you, Dan. I've had one or two.
There you go. We don't talk about that, do we? So I kept going down, became good friends with them, and then I managed to get into the first team in my first year, which is not something that usually happens, just because if you're a fresher, they call it, you tend to do like third or fourth team. And again, there was four teams, which I was not expecting, which means they've somehow got at least 24 people playing dodgeball, which I was quite surprised at. But they would regularly get 40 people turning up to training. It was really impressive, and it just shows kind of the size of it. And this was obviously quite a few years ago compared to now. The growth of it's been exponential. It's been crazy. So I got into the first team and got picked for one of their first their opens, one of their big competitions. It's like a cup competition, but you complete it all in one day. So you play like 5-6 games and you're playing for the trophy. And you've just got like the normal group stages, knockout stages, finals, etc. So I got selected for that, and we came up against one of the best teams in the country, who I actually now play for, which is quite strange. So that was my first game. So I played against, it's called Leicester.
Well, we're just going to stop it there because actually it's a really good point. So we're just going to have a quick break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll go that, because I want to go from there into how you got into England, which is obviously really...
Perfect.
Okay, just a sec.
Radio New
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
That change for life is all about small changes to help make us and our families healthier. Like, a lot of food contains more sugar than you might think, and eating too much can make us put on weight, which may lead to heart disease, type 2 diabetes and even cancer. Making sugar swaps is a great way to stay healthy, and it's so simple. Instead of sweets, swap them for fruit. And for fizzy drinks, try no added sugar or sugar-free ones. Just check the label. It's easy to be food smart. For more help with sugar swaps, search Change for Life online.
This message isn't aimed at you. You know that on a motorway, a red X above any lane means that you can't drive in it and could be prosecuted if you do. But apparently, there are some drivers who don't realise this and are a danger to themselves and to other road users. So those drivers do need to know that a red X above any lane means that the lane may be blocked by a broken down vehicle, emergency services or road workers. For more details, they should search online for smart motorways and never drive in any lane with a red X above it.
Hello, boys and girls! I'm Elf Jingle, and I can't wait to see you at this year's Newark Santa's Grotto in the Butter Market. For the seventh year running, Santa will be here in Newark, in our grotto, and you could be coming to say hello, tell Santa what you want for Christmas, and receive an early Christmas present. Once you step foot into our Newark North Pole, you'll be welcomed by the Elf Squad, who will make sure you're ready to enjoy your whole experience. Then, there'll be time to enjoy a drink and a delicious treat while you write your wish list to Santa before you chat. So make sure you arrive 10 minutes early. When your turn comes, an elf will escort you and your family through the winter wonderland into Santa's magical grotto to meet the man himself. You can book online now at newarksanta.co.uk. Newark Santa's Grotto, from the 2nd till the 23rd of December. This year, supporting the YMCA Young People's Charities in partnership with Radio Newark, Access Account Services and Newark and Sherwood District Council. Make sure you come and jingle your bells.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, what's the fairest panto of them all? Why, it's Snow White at the Palace Theatre in Newark, of course. I'm Dame Dolly, and I can't wait to see you this Christmas for a festive fairy tale adventure through the Enchanted Forest with my friends Snow White, Prince Simon and Herbie the Vegetarian Huntsman. Oh, but you'll have to watch out for that horrible Queen Narcissia. Boo! So book your tickets now at palacenewark.com or call 01636 655 755. See you soon.
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey and Joino, and we've welcomed Dan Evans this evening with us from the England dodgeball setup. So we're just going to talk straight in there. How to you got into Leicester? Because that's who you play for now.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because and then from playing for Leicester, because I think we want it. We need to talk about the England bit, Dan.
Yes,
and I think you're going to have to come back, and we'll have some updates because we want to come training with you, don't we?
Yes,
we're desperately
going
to go training. 100%,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah, we're trying.
So I think we will be good. I think they'll probably take us on, Joino. But we'll
I don't want to lose my spot. I don't want Joino to go and to steal me. He's going to kick me out.
I'm quite agile, you know.
I've seen him move in a club. So imagine him on a dodgeball court.
Honestly, mate, you know.
No comparison.
So while you were at Leicester, then how did you get into England? Is that what happened?
No. So I ended up. Long story short, I ended up playing against my future club that now I play for, and I did quite well against them. So, and it was my first time playing. So I ended up just getting asked like, oh, how long I'd been playing the sport and things like that. And I had to say that I'd just started. But long story short, I ended up playing for the university for the full season, the full year. Went obviously back to university in the second year, joined the team again. And there's a league system in university, and there's also a thing called Bucks, which is where universities from all around the country come together, and like you get where you rank, you get points, and the points lead to further funding for universities and things like that, and the club. So it's quite a big deal. So we ended up doing all of this and doing quite well. Our university ended up winning the university champs, which is quite a big. It's the biggest competition of the year for university dodgeball teams. So we ended up winning that against our rivals, which were the Uni of Nottingham at the time. So that was a very big victory for the club. And off the back of that, I got approached by, at the time, was the Welsh national team coach. He asked me to come down and trial for their development side. So Wales, their home nations all have teams. So obviously England, Wales, Northern Ireland, Ireland and Scotland all have their individual nations.
So how old were you at this point?
So I was, I'd have been 19, 20. Okay. Yeah, so I've been playing for about a year and a half, and I got approached by the Welsh national team coach to come down and trial for the development side. So I ended up driving down to Cardiff, going to this trial and getting selected for their nation, for their team. And I actually got selected. So I went for the development side. I ended up getting selected for the full squad, right. Which is a major achievement. So I ended up getting all the kit, getting all the equipment, etc. And getting selected for there was a small competition coming up, like a home nation style competition where we were playing, I think it was Scotland. And I got selected for this game. So, and about a couple of months before, I got injured, so I couldn't play the game. So I ended up having to drop out of this Welsh game. And bit of backstory, I wanted to play for England, but England at the time were the best nation in the world. So I never thought I would be capable of playing for it. So instead, what I wanted to do, so I mentioned I'm a twin. I needed something to one up the twin. And to say that I was an international in any sport was an instant win. Because up until that point, I would say that sports and probably academia, James had the footing on me.
Right.
So instead, what I wanted to do was like, oh, if I can get an international cap, like he can never say anything ever again. So I jumped to the chance of playing for Wales. I never thought I'd play for England. And I got injured before this cap. And what happens is, similar with other sports, I believe, once you have a cap or a certain amount of caps, you can't change nations.
Yeah.
Or if you do, you need like a 2-year cooldown period. So I never played for Wales. Played the next season again. So this was my second year university or third year university. Kept playing at a club level as well. So I played for a university and a club at the time, but the club was one in Nottingham called Nottingham Sheriffs. So I played for that. And then at the end of that season, the England coach approached me and said, oh, would you be willing to come down and trial for England? And again,
you said no.
I'm proud. Well, Wales. So I said yes to this and went down to trial again. And luckily got selected for England, which was fantastic because obviously I didn't think I'd ever get selected for England just because the standard was so high. England at the time were were unbeaten for like 4 years. They'd won everything. They'd won the European, the World Cups. They'd won all across the board as well. So there's men's, women's and mixed categories. We're going to run out of time. There's just too much to talk about. And they were winning gold in absolutely everything. So I never thought I'd jump into this team because they were the starting six were the starting six. It was like the golden generation.
So when was this? What year was this?
So this would have been 2019, I think about that. So I got selected for the development side in England. And it has a setup. There's probably about 40 people in total. So there's about 15, 16 in the men's senior squad and then the rest in the development squad. So I got selected for the development team at the time. About 6 months into that, so England train, it's probably about once or twice a month in the peak of it. Because obviously, individually, everyone trains with their clubs as well. So you end up having about 2 training sessions a week. And then on top of that, you have fixtures and England training sessions as well. So England train all around the country. So we sometimes used to go down to like Northampton, Derby, Nottingham, a couple of places in London, up in like Manchester as well.
Okay.
Just to make it a bit fair because people are traveling from all over.
Yeah.
So we would used to train all to this. And then we, about 6 months after this, we had my first fixture for England, which was very exciting. So we went down
for the first team, basically
what they did, they entered 3 teams, like an England red, England blue, England white. And we played against Wales's team, which was quite funny.
Right, okay.
So I then actually faced against the people I should have been playing with at the last competition. And England, as standard it was at the time, was just walked it, got all victories in all teams, which was fantastic. So that was my first cap, was down in Cardiff against Wales.
So what makes England so much better than everybody else?
Well, so at the time, it was just the domestic setup. So England, I believe, have the biggest league system in the world.
Right.
So they have the most. So the way it works, similar to football, there's a Premiership, then there's League 1, League 2, League 3, and I believe there's League 4 as well. So there's about 20 teams in each league, and then men's.
So there's a lot of teams, isn't
there? There's a lot of teams all around the country. So I think the furthest team, I think there's like Newcastle something. I can't remember the name of them, but they come down. And so there's people, there's London Storm, which is a major one. So people are travelling from all over the country to these league fixtures. And that's one of the reasons why. And I believe they were one of the first teams to set up as well. So there's a bit of history. People have been playing for longer.
Okay.
However, in recent years, a lot of teams have caught up. So weirdly as well, I think, on a world stage, Malaysia are incredible. And apparently it's their national sport, which I didn't know.
I had a look on the internet to see if anybody's got a national sport, and I couldn't find that.
So. There you go. So apparently Malaysia, it is their national sport, and these guys are like superstars over there. So it's their professional job.
Wow.
It's everything they do, and there's a major scene over there, and for some reason it's their biggest thing. So these guys are insane. So when it comes to there's the World Cup in dodgeball, and some nations come over. So America have obviously a major pool of players because it's quite big over there as well, but they play a different style. So when they come play our type of dodgeball, it's a bit harder for them to adapt, so they don't tend to do as well. But nations where handball is really big, so European side like France,
Germany,
Austria, Sweden, things like that, Italy, their teams, there's a really easy transition into dodgeball.
Right.
So when you go to these European competitions, you're up against like ex-Olympians because they'll move over once they can't quite get into handball. They go into dodgeball as well. So some really good European sides. And in recent years, England haven't done as well. So they used to walk it and it was just England winning everything.
So how often are the World Cups?
Yeah, so it's one every other year. So European 1 year, World Cup the next year. So it's not quite like football where it's a little gap.
So who's the reigning champions at World
Cup? So we just had the European competition in Croatia. And so the way it worked, so England men's came third. So we got the bronze medal.
Right.
The year before that, they came second as well. So, like, there's a bit of a changing of the tide. So, Northern Ireland currently are the best nation in Europe. And they are a very, very strong side at the moment. So they took gold in the men's as well. Women, in England actually took the gold, which is fantastic. So they hadn't won that in about 3 years. And then England's mixed team came second.
So you played in the team that came third?
Yes.
So you've got yourself a bronze medal?
I do have a bronze medal.
And you didn't bring it tonight, though, did you?
It's in Manchester, that's why. I probably should have brought it back with me, shouldn't I? I think that'd have been quite a good thing. Couldn't have seen anyone. It's not a suit for the radio, is it? But yes, yeah, so there's a bit of a change of the tide. So these other nations are starting to come up, and England are, it's just bigger competition. So this year's European competition was the biggest it's ever been. It's like 30 nations joined, wow, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah.
And the standard of it, 'cause what used to happen was the standard, once you kind of got off the top six, would start to deteriorate quite quickly. But it's starting to plateau quite a lot, and there's a lot more competition going on, which is fantastic to see.
Yeah.
And then we've got the World Cup coming this next summer, so 2024, over in Austria, which should be fantastic. So you've got all these, Canada as well is another fantastic nation. You'll have the USA, Malaysia, yeah, all these.
So where did you say that was? It's next year?
So that's in August 24, over in Austria.
Okay, so if we get some training in before then, Joyner, we've got a shout, haven't we?
We definitely have got a shout, yeah, definitely. So I fancy a bit of Austria, don't you?
You
must have a new manager at the minute, though, haven't you? Because Jonathan's retired.
Yeah,
so he's moved on to another role.
Yes, yeah, so I was impressed by your knowledge of the ex-managers of England.
You stick with me, you'll be wearing diamonds.
So there was a bit of... it's quite a long story, but we used to have... this manager called Jonathan Rudland, and he used to run the England setup, and he was very professional with it. It's fantastic. But he ended up, nothing happened, but he ended up moving into a different role in, yeah, dodgeball. So he ended up becoming I think he's now the head of British dodgeball that looks after all the home nations.
Right.
But yeah, so originally he used to be the England manager during their kind of golden period.
Wasn't,
yes,
it?
And they started, yeah, to get a couple of these losses on the books. And he ended up moving over to this British Dodgeball Federation director role. And so he now runs that. And what used to happen was, on a world stage, to make sure that it could get into the Olympics, because they are trying to get it into the Olympics. So that I think you like place a bid and you go into this pool of all these sports, and they select a couple every 4 years to go into the Olympics. I think they added like BMX recently and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
They did, yeah.
And climbing and stuff. And dodgeball is one of them. So they wanted to make it. And one of the criteria is that all home nations play for the Great British team.
Right. Okay.
So at the moment, obviously, I play for England. But to get into the Olympics, you need a GB team. So they started to set that up, and they had a GB side. And in the last World Cup, they entered this GB side, and it was like ridiculous. So it just walked the competition and did really, really well. So they were like, this is fantastic. But then quite a lot of politics went down. I'm not too sure of the ins and outs of it, but this federation ended up breaking up. Because of this change in hands of the managers, etc. I'm not too sure of the politics, but so at the moment there isn't a GB side. So all home nations are entering into the next World Cup, but I don't know where that places it in terms of progressing into the Olympics, though. I'm not too sure if that's put a kind of pin in it for now.
Well, there's a point to leave it, Dan. We have run out of time. Seriously, honestly, it's been amazing, but it does tell us you've got to come back, because we need to continue the conversation.
There we go.
Haven't touched on it, but Dan is an England dodgeball player. I mean, it's great. The achievement to play for England is amazing.
Do you hear that, James?
Yeah, James, if you're listening, we're talking to an England player here. Oh, mate, really, really appreciate you. You know,
yeah,
coming
thank
in
you for having
me, boys. Joyner, you enjoyed it?
It's been great. Yeah, and I think after Austria next year.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the perfect time to get you back in.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I'll absolutely have to just get it in the side.
Don't forget us to do some training, though, with the England.
Yes.
We'd love that.
Trying to get you down.
Yeah. We've got Dean's coming on.